The Tao of Self-Confidence, Episode 641.
Welcome to The Tao of Self-Confidence, where I share stories of amazing women who have discovered their inner journey to self-confidence. Visit our website at thetaoofselfconfidence.com. Your inner journey to self-confidence awaits.
Well, hello, friend. Welcome to The Tao of Self-Confidence, where I share stories of amazing women who have discovered their inner journey to self-confidence. I'm your host today, Sheena Yap Chan, and today I have a phenomenal lady on the show today. She's a speaker, a journalist, and a strategic advisor focusing on technology in Asia. And I'm really excited to have her on and share her story with us today on self-confidence. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Natasha D'Souza. Natasha, how are you today? Maybe you can fill in a little bit more about yourself to the listeners.
Sure. Hi, Sheena. Great to be on the show. I am really excited to tell you more about my journey with self-confidence. A little bit about me. I am, like you mentioned, I'm a business journalist, a speaker, and an advisor. And I focus specifically on fast-moving hubs across Asia. I live in one of them myself. I'm based in Dubai in the Middle East. And a lot of my work focuses on the intersection between business, technology, and culture. I write about the space, I speak about it, and I often advise and work closely with startups, tech companies, and corporates that are looking to innovate in the way that they communicate with people and the way that they look to grow their businesses.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. Natasha, what's your cultural background?
So my family is from Mangalore in the southern part of India. I was born and raised in Dubai, actually, and I moved to the US when I was a teenager.
Thanks for sharing that. And what'd be your favorite self-confidence quote?
Oh, gosh. One that stuck with me for years, literally from when I was in college, I want to say, is this one by, I think it's by Thomas Jefferson, which is, "In matters of style, swim with the current. In matters of substance, stand like a rock." So that's pretty much been a principle that I've stuck through my whole life. I'm very principle driven. I like to figure out what is the right thing to do, the just thing to do, and to stand by that. And a lot of my work also increasingly is looking to focus on, I think, shedding light on issues and uncomfortable discussions that can help move for change. And sometimes they're not the trendiest things or the coolest things to talk about, but they're important discussions that we need to have.
Thanks for sharing that great quote. And in your own words, how do you define self-confidence?
You know, for the longest time, Sheena, I used to feel that I've had an interesting journey with confidence, which is where for a lot of people may be surprised that given that a lot of my work involves me being, you know, on stage or dealing with a mixed group of people, presenting my ideas to individuals, you'd be surprised to know that I've never actually, growing up, I've never actually given a speech on stage or been a part of a school play or done anything in front of any large audience. And my journey with self-confidence essentially came from, I became more confident when I literally pursued what I loved. Because for the longest time, and I want to draw a distinction between conviction and confidence, you can be really confident, as in you have the outward projection of being confident, you are well-spoken, you have a great physical carriage, the way you carry yourself. You can be animated. You know how to draw energy, you know, within a room to yourself. But you may lack conviction in terms of not having something that you stand for, something that you believe in passionately. And growing up, I was very clear about my convictions, but I wasn't necessarily confident. And I think that showed in my demeanor. Some level, subconsciously, I must have been radiating that I wasn't confident, which is why certain opportunities didn't come my way. But it was only when I followed what I loved, and I loved to write growing up. It was always my dream to be a journalist, even though I pursued that dream a little later in my career. But I think once I actually started doing what I loved, writing a lot, getting it published, people started taking notice, I started to have this identity for myself of being, you know, this girl who was a budding writer. And I think that just made me much more confident. And it just showed. I think it helped me take on more leadership roles growing up in school. And then later on when I went to university, it just opened a lot more doors for me and just literally just became a catalyst for my own confidence. So that would, I think, was pretty much a defining thing for me from then on was to, I think when you find your worth in your work, it helps you to become more confident.
Thanks for sharing that great definition. Yeah, you know, when you can follow, you know, doing what you love, I mean, it does make a huge difference because it's not just about you. And, you know, when you love it, it's like everything else doesn't matter. Even when you have the bad days or the days where you feel like you want to throw your computer at the wall, I mean, it's something that you genuinely love. So I really
it is. And I was talking about this the other day because I remember, and at that age, it was pre-social media. It meant a lot for me just to see my byline in a magazine meant a lot to me. And it didn't matter to me, you know, how many shares it got, how many people saw it, how many people liked it. That didn't matter. It purely was the joy of seeing that. And I think in today's day and age, with just the preponderance of social media and how much a lot of our identity, we all do tend to have a part of ourselves that we share on social media. It does play into, I think, a human need for validation at some level. And I think if we're not careful now, I think being self-confident in today's day and age does require, especially if you're growing up, a teenager, particularly easily influenced at that age, it requires, I think, a lot more attention and care from a lot of different stakeholders at that age. But for me back then, yes, just the pure joy of doing what I was doing, it helped me set me on this path of becoming more confident.
Yeah, so I totally agree with that. So thanks for sharing that. And Natasha, what was your life like before your discovery of self-confidence?
My life was great. I mean, I had a wonderful childhood. I was obviously really focused in school. I did well in a lot of different subjects, but I absolutely loved English literature. I think, you know, the things for me, pre-self-confidence, I want to say there are almost like two befores for me, Sheena. There's the one that I spoke about, you know, when I was growing up until, say, about the age of 10, 11, 12, when I really started to write a lot more, and it became a bigger part of my identity. So that's one pre-self-confidence. Then there's the other pre-self-confidence, I want to say, when in my career, when I'd been in the working world for, say, about 8 to 10 years, and that was the point where I was really trying to figure out, God, what is it that I really want to do? Like, what is my life's work? You know, is it, I'm not really feeling fulfilled or driven or purposeful in my day job, and I'm not feeling challenged. And I'm somebody that needs to feel challenged, needs to feel overstimulated, needs to feel like I'm thrown into the deep end, and I really have to figure this out. And I wasn't getting any of that in my work that I was doing at the time. And I remember going through this, figuring out this career segue that was really difficult for me because I was coming from a very corporate environment working on strategy and investor relations. And I was trying to figure out what my next role should be. Should I go into CSR? Should I work with a social enterprise? Should I work for a startup? Because startups were just starting to mushroom in Dubai back then. This is around 2012, 2013. And I feel like every time I try to put myself forward for opportunities, I felt myself increasingly trying to make myself fit those roles. You know, I felt I was putting myself in a position where I was always trying to fit what they wanted, always trying to make myself subject to someone else's estimation of my abilities. And the fact is, when you're trying to make a career transition like that, which is difficult because it's difficult to do that successfully in this particular market. It's also difficult to do that in general because people like to stick to a formula when they're hiring. If you want to segue into PR, they're going to be like, well, how many years have you done in an agency? And I kind of felt, I don't fit that formula. I'm a misfit, but look at what I've done. Like, I've worked on a social enterprise project here and raised $50,000 and marketed it, et cetera. And that's purely as a volunteer. That should count for something. So I felt like I was going through a series of these experiences where I'm sitting across from the table with somebody who is evaluating me and judging me purely on what they think are the credentials required for success without actually looking at what I'd achieved. And I think something kind of snapped at some point, and it was just this light bulb moment. And it just, all I remember is I just felt this voice. I don't know what, just saying to me, you're not going to let anybody else tell you if you're smart enough, good enough, or worth this opportunity. You've always created opportunities for yourself. You've done amazing things. Just keep doing them. You do not need to be, you know, subjecting yourself to trying to fit yourself into all these different kinds of potential opportunities. And I think when that switch happened, literally, you know, when that switch happened, I just felt so much more comfortable with taking a step back and just creating my own path. Like, I no longer wanted to feel like I fit into what could be the ideal job. I was like, I'm just going to create my own career for myself. And that's literally what I've been building for myself now for the last couple of years. And that's the trajectory that I'm on.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. You know, it's great that you can go out there and create your own opportunity, create your own career. A lot of people feel like it's not possible, right? But yet here you are, you know, doing what you love, you know, making your own rules. And, you know, it's not always an easy path, but it's, you know, something that's worth
doing. It's not easy at all. I mean, and I've been there, Sheena. When I think about it now, sometimes I literally want to kick myself because I have easily spent at least 2 or 3 years in my head, like literally feeling trapped in my mind, thinking, I'm not happy here, but I don't know what I can do next. And I can't see anything around me. And I remember feeling like in your mind, I really felt closed in. I felt like I really don't know what is the next thing I should be doing. And I think if I reflect back now, I shouldn't have allowed myself to wallow that long. I think you really have to give yourself like maybe maximum if you want, like 1 or 2 weeks, but just keep going out there and embrace the world. Like today, the internet has made the world such a small place, and especially social media. Like you can find inspiration and education from so many different channels. And I think all you need is, I think once you start bringing new inputs into your life, it's going to work its way through your mind, you know, through your actions, and you'll start seeing the outputs eventually. And I think what happened then is I really wasn't doing too much to change the inputs part of the equation. I was just allowing myself to stay in the space of feeling uncertain, unsure, and, you know, hesitant, and definitely not self-confident when it came to my career at that point.
Thanks for sharing that. And I love the tips that you mentioned, right? Some of us are too scared to make that leap or create, like you mentioned, creating new inputs, but, you know, it may seem scary at first, but when you actually take that step, it's not as bad as you think. And, you know, like you mentioned, our mind is, you know, what can either hinder us or, you know, embrace us to keep moving forward. But it's up to us to make that decision. And if our listeners wanted to get to know a little bit more about you and what you do or check out some of your work, is there any links or social media profiles we can connect with?
Sure. Well, they can definitely check me out on Instagram. I'm at natasha.notes, N-O-T-E-S. And I'm also on LinkedIn at that same handle. And the website is natasha-notes.com.
Thanks for sharing that. And for our listeners, if you want to connect with Natasha, you can also head on over to thetaoofselfconfidence.com and search for Natasha's name. Her show notes will pop up along with everything else that we talked about. And I really just want to thank Natasha today for taking the time to share her story and tips with us on self-confidence. So thank you so much, Natasha.
Thank you so much, Sheena. I really enjoyed this conversation with you.
No problem. It was really great having you on the show. And to our listeners, be on the lookout for another new episode of Another Amazing Woman's Journey to Self-Confidence, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to another amazing episode of The Tao of Self-Confidence. Get your free self-talk tape for building self-confidence by visiting our website at thetaoofselfconfidence.com. Your inner journey to self-confidence awaits.